So there's no misunderstanding. I decided just before we began this morning that I wanted to speak from the heart and not be controlled by what was on the screen. Even though I worked on a PowerPoint presentation, I decided to lay it aside and just talk to you this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 8. One of my students, when I was a campus minister, had a t-shirt on, and he wore it often. The t-shirt said, "God said it, I believe it, and that's it." And I really liked that t-shirt, and I appreciated his willingness to wear it on a state university campus to make a statement that he wanted to make to his peers. But after a few days, I began to think about that t-shirt. And it's not correct. I didn't tell him to throw it away, but we talked about it, and he understood my concerns about that t-shirt. Here's what the t-shirt could say. God said it. That settles it, whether I believe it or not. The believing part made that first t-shirt really out of sync. God said it, that's it, whether I believe it or not. And that is at the core of what I want us to talk about from 1 Corinthians chapter 8 this morning. We're not going to talk about whether meat offered to an idol was right. Paul makes it clear that that idol is nothing, and that meat is just meat. And whatever God makes is good. So we don't need to talk about the issue of that day, the culture of that day. I want us to spend time dealing with the issue that's around that issue. And it has to do with disputable things. Matters of faith, God has spoken on the subject, and opinions. God has not spoken on the subject. One translation says, those who have scruples. Another uses the idea of disputable things. My dad was an elder for 31 years. He shared with me a number of things over those years when I was with him, and I have valued ever since hearing his speak on subjects as it related to congregation life. He shared on one occasion the concern that he has always had with elders who wanted to have congregational meetings. I've worshiped at congregations, and they would have at least two congregational meetings a year. Others, one a year at the beginning of the year when they were making a budget known. Others presented in other ways and never have congregational meetings. He shared his concern in having a congregational meeting. He said there's always going to be one person who is offended because they offered their opinion and you didn't do what they said. Now think about that for a moment. Our opinions matter to us. Many times our opinions are laid out there as if, now surely you're going to see that this is the course of action that should be taken. It's my opinion, but this is what we ought to do. And the reality is sometimes we need to come to some convictions, and sometimes it reveals itself and can end what otherwise could be a very long discussion. I sat in on a discussion a number of years ago, early in my ministry, the meeting of six elders. They talked for about 20 minutes about something, and each of them shared their opinion. And finally, they looked at me, a young minister at the time, and says, "Gary, what do you think?" I said, "I think you're leaving God out of the picture." And they looked at me. I said, "God has spoken on this subject, and we need to see what He says." Now, our opinions matter, and what you think about it matters. But if God has spoken on the subject, our opinion means nothing, and we need to lay them aside. in this circumstance of 1 Corinthians 8, Paul is probably quoting from some of the Corinthians, the Christians who had written to him. Verses 1 through 3, now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. That's probably what someone said. Someone was probably saying, all of us have an understanding about this. All of us have information about this. Probably in our vernacular, I have an opinion. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. Paul is discussing what happens when people with knowledge seek to press that knowledge upon other people. They express their opinion over again, very strongly. And he's telling us that it can puff us up. It can cause us to see ourselves with all this information, and I have figured it out. And because I have this information, and because I figured it out, you should follow what I have said. Knowledge puffs up. But the other side of the coin that he wants to direct them toward is the reality that love builds up. And what he's reminding us that sometimes when we express our knowledge, our opinion on disputable matters, how we do it and how we respond after we've shared our opinion matters. And what we say and what we do needs to be done with the idea of building up the other member or members, as it could speak to a congregation. Your attitude in expressing your opinion should be done so as to build up the congregation. What that might say is, on some occasions, my opinion matters always, but it's not always followed. And let me be sure I say something, and that's why I wanted to deviate from time to time from what I had planned to say on a PowerPoint presentation. The more I thought about it this morning and debated what I should do, it became very, very clear. There are times when leaders of a congregation have to express opinions or make decisions about opinions. It would make sense if they're discussing financial matters that they would consult a professor who teaches finances at a local university. I'm speaking firsthand at a congregation where I served. Or when you have a contractor in the congregation and you're about to make decisions about a new building, it would make sense to consult the contractor who's involved in that day by day about such matters. And if you're making decisions about fellowship halls or food, it would make sense to listen to what the wives say and the women say. They're cooking the food. There are times that it makes good sense to listen to the opinions of other people, and at some point, the smaller number of people must make the decision on behalf of the whole. And when that's done, it's up to us, as was mentioned in another forum this morning in class about another subject matter. We trust our shepherds, and we trust them to seek the advice of others and prayerfully make the best decision on behalf of the congregation. C.S. Lewis wrote about people who enjoy being critics. And those of us who have opinions, and they're good opinions, and my opinion's as good as yours, we're quick to say, can be critics. And we can always find something to be critical about. But does that build up the body? Does it express love to others? If that's the major emphasis of my actions or words or attitudes? There are times when God hasn't spoken on the matter. And there are times when those who have authority from God to direct a congregation will seek advice and make a decision and move forward based upon the decision that they've made. And so we find ourselves looking in the mirror, using Paul's words here. Am I puffed up about my opinion? Do I suggest that I know everything? Or am I more concerned about expressing what I believe and allowing others to maybe make a decision? It might be different, but I want to build up the body. I'll not say, I'll not think, I'll not do anything that's going to take away from what's trying to be accomplished by whatever that decision would involve. There's a spirit of love about my attitudes. Paul is saying love outranks knowledge. Love outranks my opinion. And I'm saying it to myself, you say it to yourself, and we act accordingly, if you will. Knowledge places the emphasis on the knower. Love draws attention to the one who is loved. Now that's trying to use his words to make the same point. What we know, who we know, what is involved in the situation. To the stronger believer, don't be so proud of your maturity. Don't flaunt your freedom. I know that it's okay if you eat meat offered to an idol. The scriptures say it here and in Romans 14. But that's not the only consideration. The consideration might not be your right to do it, but what's the effect that it will have upon other people? And as was read, George Everett read from the end of this chapter, if it's going to hurt someone for me to eat meat offered to an idol, Paul says, I'll never eat meat again. In other words, I don't want to be a stumbling block. I don't want it to be an issue with other people, though I have the right to do it. And God tells us that. But some have concerns about it. Disputable matters, scruples, matters of opinion are involved here. But here's the advice to the weaker brother. Although you may not feel the same freedom in some areas of your life, take your time, pray to God, and do not force others to adhere to your stipulations. Be acknowledgeable to suggest maybe I don't understand all things. Maybe I've not been a Christian as long as someone else. Maybe I've not been a part of this congregation to understand what's behind the decision, even though I had an opinion strongly about the matter. The weaker believer would not want to make up rules and not hold standards that God has not set. And so that's a concern from the weaker to understand the situation. We need to make our convictions based on God's word. We need to be sure that it's not simply an expression of my opinion about the matter. I want us to turn and read three verses from Romans 14. It's the same issue presented slightly different to a different group of Christians. And it's the warning that I want to spend more of my time addressing. Romans 14:3, let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. And let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Let me say the same thing slightly different words. Don't look down on those who are weak in their faith. Don't look down on those who are weak in their faith, those who abstain from the eating of meat. And don't judge those with a strong faith. His words, don't pass judgment on the ones who does eat meat offered to idols. The two concerns are there. And if we've been around at all in different congregations, I hope not here, but it's possible that there were those who were newer in the faith or those who were weaker in their understanding of God's will, and they were very quick to pass judgment or to look down on that other person. Don't pass judgment, those who are weaker, on those who have a stronger faith. And it's not the principle that someone has to make the decision, and so a judgment has to be made on how to proceed. That's not what's being described here. What's being described is someone that says, you do that, you're going to hell. You live that way, you're going to hell. Don't pass judgment on those who are stronger in their faith. But here's the other side of the coin. I know it's okay. This is a weak Christian. I'm going to do what I think God allows me to do. And what you've done is you're looking down on them. By looking down, you're treating them in a condescending way. You're suggesting you don't matter, your opinion doesn't matter, I don't care what you think. So it's two ends of a middle ground that he's encouraging us to find. Don't look down on those, and don't judge those who are on the opposite end of whether, in a matter of opinion, this should or should not be done. And if we're honest, we find ourselves in that situation from time to time. Here's a summation, Romans 14, verse 12 and 13. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer. There's the passing judgment. But rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. So I have the right to do something, but now I must consider what effect will it have on someone else. Is my right more important than my concern about the effect that it would have upon them? And we should willingly be willing to suffer loss, if you will, rather than hurt someone's conscience, rather than cause someone to stumble. Those things have to be considered. We talk as young people when we present one of those sermons early in our ministries that has to do with controlling ourselves and controlling our tongue. Philippians deals with this principle, is this the right time? Is this the right place? Is this the right tone? What effect will it have? All of those must be considered when there's a difference of opinion. And I know that it's okay to do what I want to do. I was a minister for over 12 years at a congregation that was very diversified. We did a survey after we'd built a new building and grown as a result of that. 23 states represented in that, that's where they said that's where home is. Where is your home? Not where you live now, but where do you consider home? 23 states represented at the West Broward Church of Christ. And 17 countries, most of them the Caribbean, 17 countries represented there. Don't you know there was a diversity of opinion as well? Don't you know there was a diversity of backgrounds coming to a common place and what we wanted to be in spite of, and especially because of, the diversity that was represented there. Two members of the congregation were working on doctorate in conflict resolution. Two members, and they both shared with me, there's only three in the United States at this time. Three people in America who are working on a doctorate of conflict resolution. Two of them worshiped at West Broward. One of them shared a very important lesson with me when we talked about this idea of weak and strong, looking down upon and judging and trying to figure out what's right so as not to hurt someone's conscience. Jerry told me this. He says, Gary, there are three groups of people represented in Romans 14. There's the weak, no question. There's the strong, no question. There's also what we would call the willful weak. Tell me what that is. He said, that's someone who's a Christian. They've had plenty of time to hear God's teaching about an issue, and they refuse to grow in that issue so as to hold on to this ability to say, you're hurting my conscience. And they do that to get their way. And I immediately thought of someone that I knew that I believe had done that. They had teenagers who were in their family who were Christians. They'd been raised in the church. They'd been around Christian teaching. They'd been around Bible teaching. They had children who were old enough to be Christians, soon to go to college, universities. But they were still holding on to something to get their way to say, that hurts my conscience. And you can't do it. And that's implied when you look at these chapters. You have to acknowledge that that could be the case. And that's why we need to listen to teaching. We need to let God speak on the subject matter that come up. We need to understand, is this God's will or is it a matter of opinion? And if it's God's will, my opinion really doesn't enter into the picture. But if God hasn't taught on that subject matter, all opinions are equal. They're all important. Someone has to make a decision. And sometimes people will hold on to getting their own way. It's manipulating leadership. It's manipulating other Christians to suggest, I've heard 50 sermons, I've heard everything there is to say about this matter, and I'm not budging because I still have this conviction. It's not a conviction from God's word, it's an opinion. It's a strong opinion. And we need to be careful where we fit. There are times when conflicts are natural in a group of people. And one of the worst things we can do is to suggest that they'll take care of themselves. They do not. They usually breed other more serious things. Conflict unresolved will not disappear. It will usually grow worse. And those who have these strong opinions and raise a conflict usually will gather people to them and want others to feel the way they feel, and it will go against sometimes chosen, stated decisions on the part of a congregation. They have to be dealt with. There has to be a way to acknowledge it, to deal with it, and to encourage that person. Here's the answer: keep a private view. This is a matter of opinion, and you're strongly opinionated in this subject matter. I'm encouraging you for the good of the body. Love builds up, remember. Knowledge puffs up, to keep a private view. Keep it to yourself. Acknowledge that a decision's been made. Acknowledge that we've moved on. months ago, sometimes years ago, a decision has been made on this disputable or opinion matter, and it's important that we go on. I want to close with three verses that we need to hear. When I study a book, I really struggle with going to other verses because I want us to know what 1 Corinthians 8 says. But this is one of those subject matters that in my mind demands, my opinion demands that we let a few other things be added as we close. Proverbs 26, verse 17, like one who seizes a dog by the ears is a passerby who meddles in a quarrel not his own. I have a little plaque, if you will, a little plastic thing on my desk. I've had it for decades now. Thank you for not minding my business. And there's another one from one of our famous presidents, the buck stops here. I'll accept the responsibility, but thank you for not minding my business. And that's a truism, Proverbs 26, verse 17. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 11 and 12, saying something similar in a nicer way. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your hands just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Now that's addressing an individual who thought the Lord could come any day. He quit work. He's just sitting around waiting for the second coming. And Paul said, don't feed this man. If he won't work, don't let him eat. But the answer to that is a quiet life. Work with your hands. Be industrious. And don't make others dependent, if you will. Or don't make yourself dependent upon others. 2 Timothy 2:23, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments because you know they produce quarrels. Matters of opinion. We're just going to argue about it. It's just going to be something to quarrel about. Don't have anything to do with such things. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. Is it God's will? My opinion doesn't matter any longer. God said it. That settles the issue. Another principle as we close, Jeremiah 6, 16. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. You said, I appointed watchmen over you and said, listen to the sound of the trumpet, but you said, we will not listen. Listen to the trumpet. Sit at the gates and hear the ancient wisdom dispensed there. Jeremiah describes people who said, we'll not sit with them, we'll not listen to them, we will not be there in our thinking. This morning, we have issues that sometimes come up. A lot of elders' meetings could be a lot shorter if a simple question would be asked early in the meeting. What does God say? What does God's Word teach us about this matter? and the discussion of opinions would be much shorter if God has spoken on the issue. And that's to say that there are many times God's word has not spoken. How big? What's the color? When? How often? All of those are decisions of opinion that church leaders make all the time on behalf of the benefit of the whole, for the good of the whole. This morning, what does God say? Look in the mirror. Look at yourself. Look at how you think of yourself. Think of the priority of people doing what you wish they would do. And see if you're conducting yourself the way God would want us. It's not an issue that I know is at this congregation, but it's an issue that will be a part of your circumstances somewhere. And it's an opportunity to be forewarned and be ready to handle it according to God's will. If you're here and you have special needs that we need to be made aware of, we want to know them and we'll pray for them. We'll pray on your behalf. We have a bulletin and other ways to communicate those things. If you're here and not a member of the body of Christ, give us the opportunity to study with you. Help us to lead you to that point of faith to where you'll be immersed in water in order to have sins forgiven. If you're an unfaithful member, make things right with God. Get right with God today. You don't know what tomorrow holds. If we can help you in any way, make it known as we stand and sing a song of encouragement.